Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Bob Suda, Assistant Commissioner for the Office of IT Solutions with the Federal Technology Service of the General Services Administration. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Steve Watson. Well, Bob, you ended the last segment talking about your career and how you began in many of the financial positions at GSA, and I'm curious, what was it like to go from counting the money to managing it?
Being at GSA for 25 years, you learn how to both manage as well as count money because you've been around so long. And knowing PBS and knowing FSS and FTS because of the position I held in the finance arena with the policy and systems, I had to understand the business. I had to understand what their role really was and what they were trying to get across to their customer. So when Sandy Bates, our commissioner, asked me to take on this role as Assistant Commissioner of IT Solutions, she had a little concerns about me trying to take on this big of an operation. And I think the result was actually pretty good when it was all said and done. But what made it easy to transition is the people that work for me, the associates that work underneath me, embraced my coming over to the new operation and really took me under their wing and helped me understand the procurement that they were working on, walked me through a lot of the processes they had in place. So within a 2 or 3 week time frame, it made it very, very easy to understand. The biggest challenge I had was knowing the people's names. There were so many people in so many locations in Washington as well as across the country that were calling them saying, who are these people? Plus industry partners calling because now they had somebody new to come and talk to about their product lines or what their solutions were. So I think I spent a lot of time just trying to sort out what the priorities were. That was my biggest challenge of converting from counting to managing it. Managing a business, it's interesting because now our new CFO, Tony Tizzone, and I spent a lot of time together talking about business issues. So we understand each other from an accountant standpoint, which is good. And I can give him the business standpoint from where I'm sitting and why we should be doing certain things. So it works out real well. And I can give you this little scenario. And Dennis Fisher, our CFO at the time, he said, Bob, we are never managing money. We're always running the business regardless as CFOs. And if you look across government, the majority of the CFOs are helping run the businesses today. They're involved in the IT, they're involved in security, they're involved in procurements. So there's a lot of involvement from that side of the house now in the finance arena that wasn't there probably 20 years ago. So I think the ability to transform or transfer your finance background to a managing a business background is very easy.
Bob, how is ITS using technology to become more customer focused?
Well, we currently have a system in place that is Lotus Notes based that is on the web that allows our industry as well as our customers as well as our FTS associates to input data and do procurements online. It's a little kludgy because it's been around for about 5 years. And you know, you got to remember we're $1 billion, $2 billion 4 or 5 years ago, and we weren't doing that many procurements. Well, now with the explosive amount of growth we've had over the last 3 or 4 years, we are right now in the process of awarding a contract to develop a new system for us, basically COTS-based. Our goal was not to build anything, not to customize anything, but try to buy it shrink wrapped right out of the box. And we had a team together for the last year and a half that has walked through a fantastic process, that has walked us through what they call, I guess, solutions development lifecycle cost process. So we have every step in place, everything is well documented, and we should be awarding within the next 2 to 3 weeks the contract to do this. And it's called 3GS. It's a new automated system. It'll be web-based, totally COTS-based. And I think the ability for our customers and our industry partners, as well as our associates, to be able to do online procurements, online legal reviews, online management reviews, funding, and for the customer to be able to look at their funding, where they have come so far, will help us through the process of providing a very customer-friendly, customer-centric operation in the future. And we're worldwide. So the problem right now is how do we deal with it worldwide? The web helps that situation. We're literally 24/7 every day of the week.
Continuing with our discussion of technology, FTS developed buyers.gov, which was a pilot program offering several e-commerce services to federal buyers. Can you tell us some more about the success of the pilot and the plans for the program going forward?
We actually ran about 5 or 6 pilots through reverse auction. Our first one was with DFAS about 2 years ago, where we actually had a cost avoidance of about $2 million from their government estimate. So we thought it was a whirlwind opportunity to really push the reverse auctioning process. And we've done a few after that. Less success, but still successful. We actually put in place in late July a government-wide area contract to do reverse auctioning, to serve as tools for our associates as well as customers be able to use to go out and do reverse auctions and try to buy things through that process. I think it's a wonderful tool. I think we at first thought it would be a major program. It would be a saving grace for a lot of different procurements we were doing. But there are times and the right places to use reverse auctions. And I think that's where lessons learned that we've had so far is that everything cannot be a reverse auction when you're buying something, whether it's a commodity or a service. But there are certain niches and there are certain times when you should be doing that, whether it's volume or whether it's type of thing you're buying in order to make it happen. So it's moving forward, but not as fast as I'd like it to move forward. And I think we just have to educate people on how reverse auctions should actually be used.
There's an OMB initiative called Integrated Acquisition Environment. Does buyers.gov tie into that? And also, what role is your office playing in the development of the integrated acquisition environment?
I think reverse auction will definitely play a role in that IAE environment. The IAE environment that they're working on out at our Federal Supply Service is moving on, and it's focused on the common services associated with acquisition. So where you may have procurement information to come into a system where you want to be able to post procurements out in the web, it's bringing all that data together in one environment. Right now, we have a number of disparate systems out there that are being worked, such things as what they call the FAMIS system, or the Federal Procurement Data System that's out there today is a little kludgy, it's old, it needs to be replaced. Those are some of the types of things I believe right now the IAE is focused on. Central registry for vendors or for industry partners, making sure they have the one number to deal with. One of our biggest problems in government today is that everybody has their own, what I want to call vendor identification number for paying a vendor, for dealing with a vendor, instead of using the EIN or one of the other numbers that are basically DUNS number that's associated out there. The central registry, I think, will help that process. Again, it takes time and effort to build those databases to make sure that the information is right and accurate so everybody can use it. But there are still going to be times when agencies need to have their own internal numbers in order to identify an industry partner. Our example on 3GS that we're building today, we're going to be buying, is that you need to sign on to the system. So how do you sign on to that system? Can you use your DUNS number, or can you use your EIN number, or can you use a different number? Again, it's a security issue and how you're going to work all those things. We've had involvement in the IAE. We are working with them. We meet with them on a weekly or biweekly basis. And we hope that our new 3GS system, from what we see so far, will fit very nicely into the environment that they're building. Because our operation, or 3GS, is a backroom business operation, which people need. And we hope that this new 3GS may become a web service, which Mark Forman's talked about in recent weeks. So we think there's an opportunity to be able to use this system under the environment that Mark's talking about unifying and simplifying, because it will be a standard procurement process in the back room managing of the finances and the project and the development of a project.
Let me take you back to buyers.gov and some of your lessons learned dealing with reverse auctioning. I was interested to hear, because I was under the impression, much like you described, that this was going to be a new wave resulting in tremendous cost savings. And I wonder if you could tell us some more of the lessons learned.
I think the biggest lesson learned is it's not about time. It's not about money. I think it's the culture that we work under today. Everybody wants to do it's a slow process to do a procurement today. Always has been. I mean, it's faster than what it was 20 years ago. But I think people are afraid of reverse auction, make sure that all the backroom paperwork is done. Because you can do all this fancy stuff on the screen and make everything happen, but you still have to do the paperwork behind it. Make sure that your procurement documents are in the right order, making sure you're dealing with the industry partners and not a potential for a protest when it's all done. So there are a lot of things that are behind the scenes that you have to have some concerns about. And I think when we first ran our pilots, it wasn't thought through well enough. And the other thing is the money saved. What's the money going for? I call it cost avoidance. I don't call it savings, because we're avoiding paying that bill in the future. Our biggest issue inside from a money standpoint was, how do we collect the fee internally? How much do we charge for this? Is there a charge for it? Or should we get a rebate from industry on this? So there were types of things where I think we didn't think through it far enough in order to make it happen. I think now with a number of reverse auction sites out there, there are new ways of doing business. You can do it through rebates. You can do credits. You can do a lot of different things that are out there. Our other lesson learned, I think, is the type of things you're buying. You know, whether they're unique. And in our arena, we are restricted to IT, to buy IT products. Now, we can provide a service to buy other stuff. But then it's on the agency to sort of run the auction, because we can provide the site and let them run the auction. And we had one with Coast Guard on buying aircraft parts. Went over real well, but we had to let them run the operation because they had to walk through all their procurement, internal procurement issues to make sure that every T was crossed and every I was dotted.
It's a good stopping point. Come back with us as we continue our conversation with Bob Suda of GSA. Agencies aren't required to purchase from GSA. What's it like to deal with customers who have a choice? We'll ask Bob when the Business of Government Hour continues.